from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Tuesday. Feels like a Monday. I am Glenn ZB. This is all the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. And this morning, Daniel Day-Lewis calls it quits. What will his last movie be like? We'll play a bit of it for you shortly. Kids getting a job, getting some money. The advantages and disadvantages, and a drink state mix-up to tell you about. But before any of that, so the coalition sort of swings into action today.
Housing's the same. It is mathematically impossible to build 10,000 extra houses with fewer people. If you don't build enough houses now, which we don't, how do you build 10,000 a year more, 27 a day more, with fewer people? Labor will tell you, oh, we're going to train the locals. In theory, fine. In reality, delusional. Why aren't those people already training? Because they either don't want to or they can't be bothered. And neither solves your immediate problem, that we are short of labour, and even if you dragged every jobless person out of bed today, they're still not swinging a hammer tomorrow. Why, if you're recruiting locally in Queenstown for your waiters and your hotel workers and your baristas, aren't they full? Same argument applies. Work's been there for years now. The problem is not new. We don't bring people into this country on work visas because we're bored. We bring them in because we need them. And that's before you get to the cuts in student visas. That industry, by the way, is worth between $3 and $4 billion a year. And for every student that doesn't come now, someone's bottom line is hit. And the more of that happens, the closer you get to job losses in the industry. If we're good at training, which we are, and people are prepared to pay big money, which they are, to come and take advantage of our educational expertise, why do we want to cut that and not grow it? And when it's cut and the jobs go, how's that enhanced our economic story? The new government on this policy alone has a lot of explaining to do.
And, before they've even really announced what the government will look like, National seems to have swung into gear in opposition, firing a few shots across the bow. And Mike's noticed.
National's approach on the Kermadex, you're following this one, exactly the sort of thing that will make this next parliament so interesting. By and large, oppositions are irrelevant, of course, in terms of legislation. It is a very rare old day that they can drum up a private member's bill that's going to go anywhere fast. Sue Moroney, you might remember, Labour MP in the last couple of parliaments, did some very good work on paid parental leave, but mainly an opposition idea is destined to fail. But on the Kermadex, you are now dealing with an opposition, not a lot of votes short of a majority. And they face a government made up of three parties, and in certain areas the philosophical divide is going to be large enough to split them, and this is where the Kermadex come in. It would seem the sanctuary idea is dead in the water, no pun intended, as a result of the coalition talks. Green, of course, Greens are desperate for it. New Zealand First doesn't want a bar of it. Labour is stuck in the middle, waffling about there, trying to do something or patch something together or glue something together. This is a stance they're going to struggle with on a number of issues over the next 3 years. So National comes up with a private members' bill, promoting the sanctuary, and with the Greens' support, they've got the numbers. They can pass the law. They have the majority of the House. So, what do the Greens do? Do they support the opposition and do what they promised they would do, or do they abstain? And in doing so, sell themselves out as coalition lackeys and see a treasured policy and opportunity sink without a trace. I suspect, and this is where their position outside of government and confidence and supply might well be valuable, it hopefully allows them to do what they want, to get the sort of wins that can give them credibility, to show their supporters they can be part of government but also work outside it. They can be effective in getting things done. And here's the ultimate irony. It would be a tangible example of how well National and the Greens could have worked together if only the Greens hadn't had that mad 75% rule and the party be so laden down with non-Greens and pro-communists. And if this works for National, stand by for more of it. Not only does it humiliate the government, of course, it shows the power of a large and effective opposition.
Yes, we had Bill English on the show this morning as well, and he sounded very calm and very in control of things. Relaxed almost about the situation. It's almost like they've just given themselves 3 years off and then they'll be back up and running in 3 years. It's not that long to wait, is it, really? Daniel Day-Lewis, he's given himself the rest of his life off from movies, but he's got one last one, apparently.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
New film trailer to go with it has dropped in the last couple of hours. Three-time Oscar winner Daniel Day-Lewis has announced, of course, he's retiring from acting. And in his final role, he plays a renowned dressmaker in post-war London. So the trailer for Phantom Thread came out just a few hours ago.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat. When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments. Things that only I knew were there.
There is an air of quiet death in this house.
You're not cursed, you're loved by me. Stop playing this game.
What game? What precisely is the nature of my game?
All your rules and your clothes and all this money and everything is a game.
This was an ambush.
Stop.
Are you sent here to ruin my evening and possibly my entire life?
Stop it!
Glad it built up, because at the start there where he was just sewing
whatever
stuff into
do.
Garments, I was thinking...
Do it carefully.
Oh dear. Who's she? She's someone famous? Or is she some art house actress? Though?
Sorry, I lost consciousness and then just kept recording.
I don't know that did it any good. Oh,
yeah, it looks absolutely terrible, that movie. Very boring. I am sort of at the point with Daniel Day-Lewis where I just feel like I'm watching him act as hard as he can every time but like Meryl Streep. You know, it's like, oh, look at you acting. It'll win awards. I watched Moonlight. I finally got around to watching Moonlight over the weekend. Oh my god, that is so boring. I can't believe that there's a lot of Emperor's New Boyhood was like that. Terrible acting too in that. At least the acting was good in Moonlight. There was just no story whatsoever. But in Boyhood, not only did you have no story, the acting was terrible. They spent 12 years filming people who can't act. And no, everybody was afraid to say it. Everybody was like, cool, the Emperor's got no clothes on. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. What does Mike have to say about his kids finally getting jobs?
A couple of kids have got jobs over the weekend. One of them's got a job, and he is loving it, his first job, and he's just like thrashing himself silly. He's got exams to study for, but they all seem to be out the window now because he's found work. And you know what he's found with work? Money. Give a kid money. Give a kid some hours, and at the end of the day, they know they're getting money, and then they look in the bank account, there's more money, and it stacks up and stacks up and stacks up, and then you give him a few hours yesterday at time and a half. He did 30 hours over the weekend, came home absolutely shattered. In fact, he loved his first job so much, he went out and got a second job. So he'd work for his 8 or 9 hours, come home at 7 o'clock, have a shower, have dinner, go out and do a second job. Working more hours, come home at 1 in the morning, get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, back to the work. He's working, 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 earning the money. Richest person in the house now. He can pay all his debts. It's fantastic. But the thing is, the important thing is, give a kid a job, get the kids out there doing a job, and the other couple have got jobs as well, and they're loving it as well. Give a kid a job, and their entire attitude to life, you as parents, the house, everything, instantly changes like that. Jobs and money fix just about everything, as far as I can tell.
Yes, that's true. My youngest has got a very low-paying job delivering flyers. She doesn't like it very much, but she does really, really love the money. Unfortunately, she dropped her iPad and broke it over the weekend, and that is going to take her approximately half a year of delivering flyers to pay back. So it sucks to be her. Meanwhile, sucks to be Mike, I think, in this situation. You be the judge.
Let me read you a text I got, and you tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. Listen to this text. This is what I received. This is a text from a friend of mine. It says this: for the first weekend in months, we are home this long weekend. You guys around for a wee wine? ? Right? I respond, yes, we are. Da-da-da-da-da. A couple more texts we said today. What's happening? Tell me what I'm doing. Am I going round to my friend's place for a glass of wine or not?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going round to his place for a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday at 2 o'clock, the agreed time, I pull up outside his house and I say to Katie, why are the blinds drawn? And I'm going, what's going on? As we're working this out, the phone rings and my friend goes, where are you? And I go, I'm at your house, you idiot. And he goes, let me in. I mean, what do you mean, let me in? Where are you? I'm at your house. He's gone to my house. So he's at my house, I'm at his house. And Katie goes, and that's what happens when men organise things. But let me read you the text. For the first weekend in months, we are home this long weekend. You guys around for a wee wine. Is that an invite round to his house or not? Or is that him inviting himself around to my
house?
I
see what's gone wrong there.
What's gone wrong?
Well, he's saying, you know, are you around for us to get together for a wine?
But the first words were, we are at home.
But you said that then there was a proceeding
Yeah, but it said what day, and I said Sunday, Monday. At no point in the next text did we say your house or my house. Just times.
Did you immediately just say, oh, this is all my fault?
No, because it's
Mike. It's what a rookie. Come on, idiot.
I defended myself. Look, I said this
okay,
is my
you've,
fault.
Look, you've cocked that up there and then. Now on network radio is your big chance here to now offer your full apology and take full responsibility for that scheduling snafu.
What I should have done is, like my wife points out, what I should have done is gone, oh, that sounds really awesome. Where would you like to go? Should you come round to my place or will we come round to yours? Is there anything I can bring? Oh, I'll look forward to it. That'll be fabulous. It's been so long since we caught up. It'll be so nice to touch base. Love, kiss, 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 and emojis. That's what should have happened.
Or even more effective, can I direct you onto domestic management?
Exactly.
To sort through the logistics of this, exactly. Because it's above my pay grade.
Entirely my fault. My sincere apologies. Got that completely wrong. What do I know?
Yes. See, now he's got it. What part of it's always your fault, even when it isn't, does he not understand? That's how I'm still alive today, living a happy life. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap. For Tuesday felt like a Monday. See you back here again on Wednesday. God knows what kind of day that'll feel like, but we'll find out then. See you.